In your Bibles this morning, if you turn with me to the book of John, chapter number 3, and we're going to preach this morning on John 3:16. We'll begin reading in John chapter number 3 and verse 16 and read through verse 21. I'm confident that the verses that follow John 3:16 give commentary and help us understand God's purpose. Just a reminder, as we read this passage of Scripture, Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus has sought him in the night, finding out the old song, looking for truth and right. He's looking to find out what Jesus is all about. And Jesus gives him a message on, you must be born again. Jesus gives him a message on the fact that God has given his Son that he might have everlasting life. Look what the Bible says with me, John chapter 3 and verse number 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. John 3:16, the Bible says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I wouldn't say that this is the best verse in the Bible, because I'm confident that every word, every jot, and every tittle is inspired and given by God in perfection. But I will say this, the message of John 3:16 is one that God has used to change the lives of multitudes of people, and one that comes constantly into my thinking. I'm thankful for these truths. I'm thankful for the simplicity of this verse. I'm thankful for the holy complexity of this verse and all that God has given us in giving us His Son. I remember as a very young preacher, my Uncle Cecil, he told me, he said, I think I've got about 35 messages on John 3:16. I remember thinking, how in the world could you preach 35 messages on that one verse? And the more I study, the more I understand that that would be very possible. The longer I preach, the more I realize that you could never mine the depths of this verse, or any other for that matter. And the truths we find in this passage of Scripture are glorious and wonderful. How many of you are glad that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son? Would you say amen? It's wonderful. What a truth. Today's message is titled John 3:16. That's all we're going to say about it. I want to show you some things I pray will be a help to you. There's a lot of words that jump off the page in John 3:16, but we're going to find our message in 5 points this morning from the words of this text. The first point, number one, is gave. The second point is whosoever. The third point is believe. The fourth point is should not perish. And the fifth subject that we'll deal with this morning is have everlasting life. Let's just get right to the beginning. Number one, I want to bring to your attention this simple truth. Gave. God gave. Let's just begin at the beginning of verse number 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I love this passage. For God so loved the world. How in the world could you describe the love of God? There was a writer, the hymn is called The Love of God. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell. And there's a picture that the writer of that song paints for us in the notion of how deep and how amazing the love of God is. He says if every man on earth was a scribe by trade, and the ocean was full of ink, and every stalk, every stem of grass was a quill, a writing instrument, he said even then you couldn't write the love of God because it's so vast. And so the Holy Spirit, and this gives me such gives me such peace in knowing the Word of God. When the Holy Spirit says, how can I describe the love of God? God in His perfection gives us a two-letter word that describes it all. For God so. Isn't that huge? God so loved the world. God so loved the world. Why did God send Jesus? Because He loved the world. He loved the people in the world. The purpose for Christ's coming was the love of God. We as humans, given the opportunity to choose, have chosen sin. And God in love has sent His own Son. First thing we'll talk about this morning is gave. The Bible says in verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. It was the love of God that motivated Him to give us Jesus. Let's talk about this gift that God has given. God has given us His Son. Why did God give us Jesus? Did He give us Jesus? Did He send Jesus because those dirty, rotten scoundrels have sinned against my love? I gave them an opportunity in Eden to do the right thing, and because of their rottenness, I've sent my Son to condemn them. Oh no, that's not the point. Jesus says, I want to make this very clear. God loved the world, and because He loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son so that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And verse 17 gives us commentary on this notion of why God gave His own Son. He says, God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world. Was Jesus coming? Was it purpose for condemnation? No. It was purpose for salvation. It's sad to think there's lots of folks who believe that the teaching, the preaching of Jesus Christ is that's intended to condemn people. The Lord did not send His own Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins so that we would be condemned, but so that we could have everlasting life. You know, the devil likes to pervert truth. He loves to give us a perversion. He wants you to get your feelings hurt and get miffed because you feel guilty about your sin and you blame Jesus for making you feel guilty and you think somehow if there was no Jesus, I wouldn't have any guilt. No, that's not how it is at all. If there were no Jesus, you would still have sin and guilt and condemnation and the penalty of death and hell, but you would have no hope. And God in love, knowing that man needed hope, He gave His only begotten Son. Jesus was not sent into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might have life. God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. God did not send Jesus to revenge us for sinning against His creation and His love. God sent Him to save us from our sins. God gave. Aren't you glad God gave His only begotten Son? I love the context of the Scripture. Who said this? If you have a red letter edition of the Bible, what color is John 3:16 in your Bible? Should be red, right? How many Jesus said it? Who's God's Son? Jesus. Who said John 3:16? Jesus. So Jesus says, for God so loved the world that He gave. Now, I'm no English scholar, but I know enough to know that that's past tense. Jesus is standing in the presence of Nicodemus. When Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus, has He already been to the cross? No. Has He already been to the tomb? No. Has He already risen from the dead? No. Now, Jesus makes something very plain. Jesus was God's gift for salvation long before the cross, the grave, the resurrection, all of which are of utmost importance and necessary. But Jesus Christ was God's gift for eternity. God gave His only begotten Son. You see, we cannot think that this only applies to Jesus' death on the cross. Jesus has always been the gift of God. When Adam and Eve's sins were covered by the lamb that was slain in the Garden of Eden, it pictured the Christ of God that had already been given by God. God had given His Son. Jesus is the eternal God. He is our Savior. God gave His only begotten Son. God gave His only begotten Son. Can you imagine giving your only begotten Son? Oh, it's awful. There's no greater love. There's no greater connection, seemingly, than that you have between you and your children. And God willingly gave His Son, His only begotten Son. I read this story early this morning, and it encouraged me. It broke my heart in consideration of the fact we've just celebrated and commemorated Memorial Day this past week. This story is very appropriate. During World War I, hundreds of thousands of American young men gave their lives in service to our country, defending our freedoms. And there was a way devised to commemorate and to honor the lives of those lost. If a parent lost a son at war, they were given a star, a big star that they could put in their window. And any time you saw a star in the window, you knew that there was a home and a family and parents that had given their son. There was a story goes that one evening late after dark, a man and his little boy were walking the streets of New York, a place with a great concentration of people, of course. And as they walked the streets of New York, folks' lights were on, and it seemed like everywhere they went, there were stars in the windows backlit by the lights of the homes. The boy and his dad walked the streets, and the little boy was amazed by all the stars, and he started doing something. He started noticing them and started saying and acknowledging them. And he said, they walked past the house and there was a star in the window. You can't imagine the grief that that star represents. There's a star in the window. And the little boy would look at that star and said, they gave their son. They go a little further and he'd see another star. And he said, they gave their son. Go a little further, and in one instance, there was two stars in, and they gave their sons. And the little boy was amazed at all this. And every time he saw a star, they gave their son. They gave their son. As they continued to walk down the street, the buildings opened up and a little part of the sky began to shine. And the little boy saw a star out in the distance. And he looked at his dad and he said, Daddy, and God gave His Son too. Oh, how true it was, how true it is that God gave His only begotten Son. He gave His Son to a cause that matters for all of us. God gave His Son. God loves you. That's why He gave His Son. Do you know what? It would have been, it's probably not the best way to say it, it wouldn't have been any skin off of His teeth, you ever heard people say that, to let us all die and rot. He's God. He doesn't have to be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He doesn't have to care for our hell-deserving souls. He doesn't have to care for us. We have sinned against Him time and time again. We've rebelled against Him over and over. And God doesn't have to care, but He does. He cares so much that He gave His only begotten Son. God gave. And I'm glad He did. God gave His Son. You see, John 3:16 teaches us the love of Christ and the fact that He's given us His Son. Gave. Look at the second thing. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. We're going to look at two words right here in this passage. For God so loved the world is the first one I want you to pay attention to. And connected to that, the Bible says that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever. You see these two words that begin with W. The world and whosoever. God gives us something here to understand, to think about. When we think about John 3:16, God so loved the world. What motivated God to give His only begotten Son? What motivates God to love us? He loves the world. The world had condemned itself. All of mankind had condemned themselves with sin. The world. You see, God gave His only begotten Son because the world needed a Savior. Isn't it amazing to think that God is so big and so strong and so powerful that He has the ability to conquer the whole world? I mentioned on Wednesday night, and maybe this will help you like it helped me. Someone asked this question. this Christian thing, I'm not sure about. So how in the world could one man, his death, be sufficient enough and valuable enough to pay the penalty for all of mankind? The comparison was made, one for millions, one for billions. I don't get it. Someone skeptically asked that question. The answer is this. The value of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, exceeds millions of times over the value of all of mankind put together. And God's gift of salvation was sufficient and powerful enough and just and righteous and the right thing to pay the price for the sins of the whole world. You know, God is so powerful that He has the ability to conquer the whole world. He's so powerful that He has the ability to save the whole world. He's so mighty that He has the ability to create the whole world. Well, what's wonderful about John 3:16, the world is great big, but the work that God does is very specific. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him." The world's big. Have you ever felt like you got lost in the world? You didn't get lost in the mind and the eye of God Almighty and our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ loves you so much that He died on the cross for your sins specifically. The Bible says, whosoever believeth on Him. You see, what did God do? God gave His Son so that whosoever... Who does that exclude? It excludes no one. Who does that include? It includes you. You see, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The important thing we notice about this is God specifically cares about you. Because your family's Christian doesn't mean that you are. Just because your family's saved doesn't mean that you are. Just because you attend this church doesn't mean that you are. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, and you specifically, personally, must pray and receive Him by faith as your Savior. You need to do business with Christ in your own heart. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It includes everybody. It excludes nobody. You need Jesus. Whosoever. Whosoever. What did God give us? He gave us His Son so that whosoever believes on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Have you ever put your name in John 3:16? For God so loved Cody. You can put your name in there. That He gave His only begotten Son, that if Cody would believe in Him, Cody should not perish, but Cody should have everlasting life. John 3:16 is specifically for you. God loves you. He died for you. Praise His name. Gave whosoever. Thirdly, believe. Boy, this is a beautiful word. Believe. You know, sometimes we overcomplicate the word believe. Believe is to put our trust in something. And the Bible gives us some great detail in regards to this word believe. The Bible says in verse number 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Don't overcomplicate that. The Bible gives us some commentary in verse 18. Look what the Scripture says. "He that believeth on Him is not condemned." So it's simple. If you believe on Jesus, you're not condemned. Now, we must back up. Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, right? In verse 17, God sent out His Son in the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. So, he that believeth on Him is not condemned. If you believe in Jesus, you're not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. He's condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. We're believing. We're believing in the Lord Jesus for our soul salvation. Are you believing in the Lord? Have you put your trust in Him? Has there been a time in your life where you repented of your sin, relinquished control of your own eternal destination, and given your life to Christ? I'm so thankful that I've had the opportunity to be saved. And I've trusted Christ by faith as my Savior. I've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I believed Him when I got saved and born again. There was an eternal change, and I'm believing Him this moment. You believe, you're not condemned. Believe not, you're condemned already. Believe on the name of the Son of God. Someone said, I can't believe. And the question was asked, whom can't you believe? You see, sometimes we have doubts about our eternity because we're still trying to put our trust in ourselves. You're trying to work your way to heaven. You're trying to religion your way to heaven. You're trying to somehow do things. But God says, believe. Believe that I'm able. Believe that I will save you. Believe that I am the only way to salvation. Believe. You see, you shouldn't believe in yourself. I can't believe in me to get myself to heaven. I can't believe in the Chihuahua Baptist Church to get me to heaven. I can't believe in my mother. I can't believe in my rearing. I can't believe in my religion to get me to heaven. But I can believe on the name of the Son of God because He has everything it takes to give me everlasting life. We're to believe in Christ. We're to believe in Him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Believe. We're trusting in Him. We're trusting in Him. The Scripture gives us more commentary. I love these verses. Verse 19. And this is the condemnation. The Bible says that light is come into the world. When Jesus came into the world, light came. Light has come into the world. What does light do? Light shows us details. How many of you have ever been around one of these? Have you ever seen these magnification mirrors that have a light all the way around it? You know what I'm talking about? You get them in the beauty section. I do not have one. But I've looked at one a couple times. I'll tell you, if you want to be disappointed, get you one of them things. Turn the light on and look. Oh, my lands. What happens when you look in that light and you look in that magnification? It's like, ew, that's disgusting. You know, how many of you have done that? Don't raise your hand. What does light do? Light reveals things, right? And so the Lord begins to give us some understanding. Here's the question I have. I'm so thankful as a child that the light of my sin was shown in my heart. And with childlike faith, I was willing to repent of my sin and put my trust in Jesus as my Savior. I'm so thankful for that. The light shone. I was like, oh, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. And the light made it clear to me that I didn't want to stay in darkness. But you know what the devil likes to do to us? And the older we get, the more we become ingrained in the love of our darkness. The Bible says here in the text, verse 19, this is the condemnation. Light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light. How many of you have ever realized something about yourself, and before you realized that, you were happier? You realize that you had this imperfection. You had this problem. And it comes to light. And you're like, oh no, turn the light off. I don't want to know that. And so what the Bible says here that light has come and men get a glimpse of light and the fact that what is in their heart is wrong and that their lifestyle is not pleasing to the Lord, that their deeds are not right. They're dark. They're sinful. And the Bible says men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. I don't know about you, but it's easy to fall in love with your darkness. It's easy to fall in love with your darkness. Verse 20, everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. It's easy to fall in love with your darkness. And if we fall in love with the darkness, we get to where we don't want light. It's sad for me to know this, but I know it's true. I know people who will not get saved because there's certain darkness that they love. They are scared to death that if they get saved, that they're going to have to give up their darkness. And they've got this notion and idea that somehow their darkness is better than the life that Jesus has to offer. There are people who love to drink alcohol. I'm against alcohol as a beverage for Christian people. But I want to tell you something. Whether you like to drink alcohol or not drink alcohol, I would not allow that vice and that sin or that thing to be a determining factor as to whether or not I will be a Christian. I'll just tell you something. Whether it's good, bad, ugly, right, or wrong, if you have in your heart, I don't want to turn to the light because I'm afraid that I might have to give up that thing. It may be alcohol. It may be immorality. It may be a boyfriend or girlfriend. It may be an occupation or a habit. It may be something that you like to do. I mean, it's easy to fall in love with darkness, right? But if you get to the place where you say, you know what? I can't give my heart to Jesus because I might have to give up this thing that I enjoy, this thing that I treasure, this thing that I rest in. I want you to know something. That thing is something that the devil is using as an idol in your life to keep you from turning to the light. To keep you from turning to the light. Now look. Don't be afraid to come to the light of Christ thinking He might send me to Africa. Don't be afraid to come to the light that's in Christ thinking He might make me quit my job. Don't be afraid to come to the light of Jesus Christ saying He may make me break up with my girlfriend or my boyfriend. Don't be afraid to come to the light. He may make me stop doing this or stop doing that. Folks, I want you to know something. If you have reserve about giving your heart and life to Jesus because there's something you're afraid you might have to give up, that very thing is an idol in your heart. And it's darkness that the devil is using to deceive you from having the light and the brightness and the joy and the hope that is only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have it in your mind that if you get saved, you've got to wear a three-piece suit 7 days a week. And you just can't do that if that's being a Christian. Well, the three-piece suit that's worrying you is the thing that's an idol. You may have this idea that if I get saved, I can't do whatever it is you think that you can't have or you can't do. It's something that the devil is using to prevent you from seeing the light. And the Bible says, and Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus. Now, Nicodemus, look here, man. Whatever idol it is in your life that's holding you back from believing on Jesus Christ, it's not light, it's dark. And you condemn yourself when light has come. You condemn yourself when light has come, and you somehow think that darkness is better. Folks, I want you to know something. When we read John 3:16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish." We must believe that God's love is greater than our darkness. You may have a darkness in your life that you think is too dark for Jesus to save. That's not true. Your darkness is not brighter than God's light. God's love is greater than our darkness. Guess what? God's love is able to forgive your darkness. God's love offers greater peace than your darkness. You think, I couldn't have peace if I didn't have this. God's love is greater. His peace is greater than your darkness. God's love offers greater pleasure than your darkness. God's love offers a greater plan than your darkness. God's love offers a brighter future than your darkness. What are you exchanging for the light and the hope and the joy that Jesus Christ has promised to give you? Whatever sin it is that's keeping you from repenting and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, it is not greater than God's love. That darkness, something that distracts us. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Verse number 20, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. You know what we're scared of? We're scared to death that our deeds are going to be revealed, reproved, addressed. No doubt everybody in this room has things that they'd rather other people didn't know. God already knows. And if you'll let God's light shine in your heart and you'll accept His love and forgiveness, you can have it. And His light and His love is brighter than all of your darkness. What do we need to do? We need to believe. We need to believe on the Lord. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Look at that next phrase. Point number five, should not perish. Through believing for salvation, you avoid hell and condemnation. Jesus makes it plain. There is a penalty for sin. And there is a condemnation. But God's love has made it possible that you should not perish. We don't want to die and spend eternity in hell. And because of God's love, we do not have to perish when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, number five, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Have everlasting life. Look what the text says in verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I love the word have. You know what have means? It means I have it right now. Have. When do you get everlasting life? Some people have this notion somehow that we get everlasting life when we breathe our last breath on this earth. There's a lot of folks who have this notion that if I am really good until I die, then I will have everlasting life. Well, I'm glad that I don't have to depend on myself to have everlasting life. You have these notions and these stories that folks have this idea that, you know, if you're in a car crash and you say a bad word before you crash into the wall, you know, you've sinned your way into condemnation. Well, I have peace knowing that I have everlasting life, not because I've been good, not because I'm sinless. I have everlasting life because I have believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everlasting life is my present possession. What do I have? I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and got saved when I was a child. And because of that, at that point, I have everlasting life. I didn't inherit everlasting. I will not inherit everlasting life when I die. I got it when I got saved. I have it right now. I'm really glad I have it. I have everlasting. How long does that last? Everlasting life. Oh, I'm so glad I have it. I'm so glad I didn't have to earn it because I couldn't. I'm so glad that God loved me so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that if I just believe on Him, I could have everlasting life. Look at the Bible says in verse 21. He that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Folks, I want you to know something. Your religion, your faith in Christ is not just something that provides for you life after death. If you're just looking for salvation so you can have life after death, you're missing a large part of it. Now, certainly, the condemnation of sin is hell. The judgment of God. Certainly. The blessing is the fact that Jesus Christ has offered us eternal life through faith in Him. Hallelujah. But I want you to know something. If you are just doing church as some type of fire insurance, you're missing the mark. God has given us so much more. Jesus says, I've come that they might have life after death, life for the dead and trespassing, life, and that they might have life more abundantly. He's promised us we can live victoriously here and now. I'm really glad that we have the opportunity as Christian people to enjoy life. I'm thankful, just like my eternal life, my life with Christ doesn't begin when I die. It began when I got saved. And I have the opportunity to walk every day of this life and this existence with God, with His blessing, with His peace, with His joy. Verse 21 gives us an alternative to walking in darkness. The Bible says, "He that doeth truth cometh to the light." He that doeth truth cometh to the light. What's that mean? It means, hey, look, all I want is what God wants. We got to get to the place where we say, if God takes my health, and that's what's true and right, He can have it. If God takes my habit, and that's what's true and right, He can have it. If God takes my family, and that's what's true and right, He can have it. If God allows me to go through trouble, and that's what's true and right, that's what I want. I want God's best, and I relinquish control of my life because God knows what's best. We've watched a young couple this week lose a baby at 18 weeks. It's heartbreaking. Do you know what's encouraged me about this young couple? They believe in the Lord Jesus. They believe in the sovereignty of God. And they said, this is not what we would choose. But if this is what God chooses, He knows better than we know. And we trust Him anyway. And the Bible says, do truth. Do truth. Live truth. Determined that whatever God says is right, and I'm resting in that. And when we determine to live in the light that Christ has provided, when we determine to live our lives for Jesus, trust His will and His way, He that doeth truth cometh to the light. Guess what happens? You'll go through the darkest of times. But if you go through the darkest of times in the Spirit of Christ, you'll come out of them understanding that God had a greater purpose and He's worked all things together for good. He that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. The end product is, hey, look, I'm just walking in truth. And I just want my deeds to be the deeds that please the Lord. They are wrought in God. They're God's will and they're God's way. I have everlasting life. That doesn't mean that I'm just hanging on till I die. That means I'm living for God and His glory every day of my life. I have everlasting life. It's my present possession. I have the indwelling Holy Spirit. I have peace with God. I have opportunity and hope. I have His guidance. I have His direction. I have His care and His love. I have it. I have the Lord. And Jesus sends this message. He says it just like this: for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, I wonder, are you a Christian? If you're lost today, I pray that you'll put your trust in Jesus. I pray that you'll repent of your sin and accept Christ and Christ alone for your soul salvation. Pray that you allow the Lord to do a work in your heart. Oh, what a joy and privilege it is to be saved. Jesus came that you could have everlasting life. Will you believe on Him today? Will you put away all the excuses? Will you be clear on the fact that there's no darkness brighter than the light of Christ? He's going to give you everything you need. He's faithful. Turn to Jesus Christ today, I pray. May we learn something from John 3:16. What a wonderful Savior we have.